the Supreme Court of the United States hears oral arguments against Biden's vaccine mandates. California forces COVID-positive nurses to work, and Matt Walsh gets suspended from Twitter over transgender tweets. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. All right, welcome back to the show. So let's go ahead and jump right into things here. So the Supreme Court is supposed to be hearing arguments about the arguments against the vaccine mandates from Biden. This was going to be basically different arguments brought to the Supreme Court from not only news organizations like Daily Wire, for example, but there were also other companies and businesses that kind of got together in a coalition and said, okay, we're going to basically get together and go ahead and challenge these mandates because they should be challenged. They need to be challenged. Now, the Supreme Court was actually supposed to hear these last Friday, but as of right now, nothing has taken place. There hasn't been an answer on it. And that's kind of frustrating because a lot of people right now are losing faith in the Supreme Court of the United States. This isn't, of course, the first bad thing that they've really done, but when they wait so long to hear things, when this couldn't be more obvious what the decision should be, which is obviously that these vaccine mandates aren't completely unconstitutional. It's not the role of the federal government to institute these mandates, yet you have them waiting and kind of hearing all these arguments and kind of sitting on this evidence and not really doing anything about it. So basically, that's what's taking place right now in the Supreme Court. So this is something that's being instituted. As I mentioned, this is about the specific mandate that OSHA was supposed to be implementing at the moment. So the previous news on this was that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals had initially stayed the mandate. So that was what was going on. The mandates were actually supposed to go into place, and then they actually were stopped in the courts because of that. Then it went back where the Sixth Court lifted that stay, and now they're basically going to go through until the Supreme Court does something. So right now, whether or not you are forced to get a vaccine or other people are forced to get a vaccine, if you work for a company that has over 100 employees, is up to the Supreme Court of the United States. This isn't something that we want to be happening right now. The Supreme Court should know exactly what they should be doing. But unfortunately, you have them sitting on this and waiting. So the OSHA mandate right now is scheduled to go into effect on January 10th. So that's already happened. But the enforcement is supposed to begin on February 9th. So if the Supreme Court cannot come up with a decision by that time, we're going to be sitting here with a lot of people losing their jobs, a lot of people being forced to get a vaccine, and all of that as a result of it. So I'm going to keep you updated on that and let you know in the future as far as what they decide. But as of right now, they're still deliberating. They're still stalling for some reason. And really, a lot of people have lost faith already because they're taking far too long to figure out the solution to something that's very, very, very easy to figure out. That these mandates, of course, don't make any sense whatsoever. So we actually have a new report as well from the CDC. And this one's quite interesting because it's a study from the CDC. Regardless of what a lot of other liberals want to say, the CDC actually has the study out, showing that 66% of children older than 12 years old that have been hospitalized with COVID were actually obese. So this is extremely important because it kind of shows the whole comorbidity thing. One of the things that a lot of people forgot about was whether somebody had died from COVID or with COVID. But that doesn't just apply to deaths. The other question is, what about hospitalizations? Were they hospitalized with COVID or from COVID? That makes a difference. Now, the CDC and maybe the liberals don't really care, but that does make all the difference because we're literally talking about the difference between somebody who has all these major health conditions where it wouldn't matter if it was COVID or not. It could have been the flu. It could have been anything else. If they got that they would probably be in the hospital regardless of anything because they have so many other conditions in the first place. So it's important for us to notice these things. That's why the kind of idea behind this is that the statistics don't lie. No matter how much the left tries to skew things, the statistics do not lie in the situation. So, as I mentioned, the recent study revealed that children ages 12 to 17 hospitalized with COVID-19, approximately two-thirds were obese. The study occurred from July to August 2021 and focused on six hospitals in Arkansas, District of Columbia, Florida, Illinois, Louisiana, and Texas. Of course, I'm in Florida, and one of the interesting things is, and I mentioned this on one of the other shows, is that there was a hospital that's local to my area that was posting the stats that they had from the hospital. And what they're trying to do is basically make everything seem as if the main people that are actually appearing in the hospital are actually unvaccinated. That's the whole goal of these actual pictures that they post. I actually have one that I can pull up here really quick. You may not see it on this on the screen here, but basically what it's showing is this data. And what they have is it says on here, and this is their data up to January 10th this year at 5 p.m. So it says that they had 208 hospitalized patients with COVID, okay? And then below it, it'll say 94 of those were vaccinated, 114 of those were unvaccinated. So the idea is that really, if you're looking at that, it's pretty much 50-50, okay? It's pretty much 50-50 of people that are getting, that are vaccinated and unvaccinated that are getting hospitalized with COVID at this specific place. But then they go further and they say, okay, well, 17 of those patients were in the ICU. Four of those ICU patients were vaccinated, and 13 were unvaccinated. Okay, well, you know, if you're reading this and you're kind of an ignorant person, you're probably just like, okay, you know, it's maybe just skewing in this direction. Clearly, you should still get vaccinated because it, maybe it lessens your chance of being in the ICU. Okay, well, what about the ventilators? It says 10 patients that were on ventilators, out of the total 10 patients that were on ventilators, two were vaccinated, eight were unvaccinated. So what they're trying to draw this picture of is that if you are unvaccinated, you are at a higher risk if you're hospitalized. But if you're vaccinated, you're probably still going to wind up in the hospital too. It doesn't matter if you're going to wind up going anyways, that is. Now, here's the problem. What does vaccinated mean? Remember when I was talking about the idea that the CDC was changing the definition of what that meant, that Fauci was doing it, Joe Biden was doing it, that vaccinated no longer really means fully vaccinated. Really what they're talking about is that you're up to date on everything. So when they list vaccinated on here, how much do you want to bet? And I can actually guarantee you, because somebody actually verified this information with this hospital, that when they put vaccinated on here, that that does not mean that you had the original vaccines from a year or two ago. What they actually mean by this is that you not only have those, but you have all of the boosters, not some of the boosters, all of the boosters. So when they mean vaccinated on here, they're not just talking about the fully vaccinated where you may have had the both the vaccines, maybe a booster. No, you need to have the vaccine and all of the boosters, the most up-to-date you could possibly be on everything. So how much or how much do you think these numbers would actually be skewed if, for example, those unvaccinated people that they're calling unvaccinated, how many of those people do you actually think that, that their listing is unvaccinated actually had all of the original vaccines? That would be quite interesting to know, don't you think? I mean, don't you think that would be relevant information for them to tell us? But there's a reason why they're not telling us, because they want us to think that what they're showing us is the absolute truth. So yes, statistics don't lie, but when you have hospitals and Fauci and other places that take the data and then skew it and change it in a way, what means unvaccinated, I mean, to them, unvaccinated is somebody that got the original vaccines and nothing else. To them, vaccinated doesn't mean just fully vaccinated. It means that you've had every single booster available up to date. And it's still not looking good for people that have all of those boosters and things. So really, the point here is that these people are lying to you. Pay attention to the numbers that you are seeing and what you're watching and what you're reading, because these hospitals are in it to try and push a narrative. That's the whole point. And I mentioned before that this same hospital, this is the exact same one, that didn't report anything for like 3 months straight. What do you think was going on during that 3 month period? What happened, right? Now you see them reposting all of this stuff and trying to skew this in a way to say people should get vaccinated. But in reality, that's not true. Really what they mean is that you must have every single step of this. And even then, you're basically at a 50-50% chance of going to the hospital like everyone else. It's only when it fits their narrative. It's only when it's going to do that. When it doesn't, they won't post any stats on it at all. That's how they lie. That's how the mainstream media does it too. I mean, any stories that come available that don't fit the narrative that Democrats or the mainstream media are believing in, they just don't cover it. They don't have to cover it with lies. They can just not cover it at all. And that's basically what they're doing in this situation too. They just don't put anything out there about this. So the CDC also found that amongst children hospitalized with COVID-19, the average hospital stay was 3 days, and nearly 30% required being admitted into the intensive care unit. So the point still being is that these these kids that come in, even with adults, if you are obese or have any of these other issues like that, you are at a higher risk. This just simply proves it more than before. And so we have to be paying attention to these actual numbers because they are important. But you have places like California, for example, that's basically saying, you know what, it doesn't really matter. We're going to do whatever it is that we want to do because we're California. And if you recall, not too long ago, they were demonizing anybody that was a healthcare worker that did not get vaccinated, for example. And of course, the obvious question that we were asking back then was, how is it possible that you as a hospital can claim that you care about COVID patients or about COVID or any of that, and yet you're willing to lay off workers because they chose to do what they wanted to do with their own health? I don't understand how that works. Either the hospitals are overwhelmed or they're not, right? Well, apparently, they're actually now basically backtracking entirely, like pretty hard on this. So the COVID-positive healthcare workers are going to continue working if they are asymptomatic. And not only just that they're allowing them to, but the point is that this whole guidance is actually allowing the hospitals to force their workers to work if they are COVID positive but asymptomatic. So the department is providing temporary flexibility to help hospitals and emergency service providers respond to an unprecedented surge in staffing shortages. I wonder why those staffing shortages occurred in the first place. Could it be because of the ridiculous vaccine mandate, or could it be because they were forcing all of these different healthcare workers to get vaccinated, or they just fired them, right? I mean, we have to think about that. Hospitals have exhausted all of their other options before resorting to this temporary tool. That's the whole point. They want it to be the last resort, but they're already on the last resort. Obviously, they're doing this in the first place. So facilities and providers using this tool should have asymptomatic COVID-positive workers interact only with COVID-19 positive patients to the extent possible. So the whole idea here is that they're basically saying, you know what, we messed up, okay? This is an admission of responsibility for the fact that they were trying so hard to virtue signal by saying that they must get this vaccine in order to maintain their job, that you laid these people off, or they fired, or they just quit themselves, and now you have a problem. You have a lot of, by the way, vaccinated people showing up in the hospital now with whatever the newest variant is, and now they're saying, you know what, as long as you're asymptomatic, I mean, well, what requirement is there for that? Who cares? If you feel good enough to work, why don't you just work anyways? But it doesn't matter. The point is that they're just backtracking on everything. So this whole idea behind everything is really interesting because it's going to show that finally they're realizing that, man, you know, what's the problem with having, say, COVID-positive patients work with COVID-positive employees? Like, does it really matter at all? You know, and I guarantee you that all those employees probably still have gotten the vaccine. I mean, I wonder if they're allowing for unvaccinated people to actually work, if that includes them as well. You know, if you were a hospital worker or a nurse or something, if you were refusing to get the vaccine, are they going to allow you to still work in this situation? Probably so at some point, because it seems they're finally realizing that they messed this up. You can't just fire all of these nurses and hospital staff trying to be so crazy about COVID and then ignore the needs of the hospital if they actually do exist. Otherwise, these people wind up just coming off as lying as a result of everything. So to me, that's why it's incredibly important why we need to pay attention to what these different states are doing. And of course, you have places like, or the specific company, Pfizer, trying to talk about their ways of dealing with COVID in the future. Now, their statement on this is quite interesting because they say that COVID-19 could be controlled by annual vaccines or pills to treat it. Now, this is a weird statement from them because it's odd that you're talking, or you have Pfizer basically talking about any kind of treatment when everything that they've been doing so far up until this point has been preventative, right? There's a big difference between vaccines and preventative vaccines that are a preventative treatment and actual in the situation that you have COVID treatments, like the monoclonal antibodies. By the way, the same things that you have Biden actually limiting the amount that certain states, like red states, like Florida, Texas, can get access to. So these people that pretend like they care about treating COVID do not care about treating COVID at all. But they said in a statement, we will have perfectly normal lives with just injection, maybe once a year, and a pill in case we are sick. Will make it more flu-like rather than life-threatening than a life-threatening disease. So first of all, they're also kind of in a weird, sneaky way kind of saying, hey, you know, COVID's going to be kind of like the flu. It's going to be that's the way it's going to feel to you, is that it's going to be a flu-like disease, right? Which is weird because that's kind of what it always was. It's just that you finally have them actually admitting that to a degree and saying that that's basically what's going on. Now, they're saying, oh, we can live perfectly normal lives. Just one injection, maybe, you know, maybe a year and a pill. Guys, we could have done this already. This whole idea of Pfizer talking about different treatments, we already have treatments. We have proven treatments already for this, but they refuse to actually pretend as if they work. Remember that Pfizer's in the money-making business. That's what they're doing. If they're not making money off of it, then they don't know what else to do. So that's kind of why they're in the situation where they are discouraging anything else but what they have, because to them, it is about making as much money as possible. But speaking of the actual vaccines and everything, I mentioned before that AOC, of course, went to Florida in Miami. She had no mask on. She was caught several times, one time outside with her boyfriend or something, and then another one in a club as well. Well, she actually tested positive for COVID as well in Miami. So this is really kind of just funny because of the people that are involved in this. Obviously, AOC, one of the people that is pretending as if all of this stuff is supposed to be the vaccine is supposed to make them immune or something. I mean, that's usually the argument that they use is, well, I've been vaccinated, so I can walk around without my mask on, which doesn't make sense because everywhere else you look, if you are vaccinated, it doesn't matter. They still require you to wear the mask regardless. So it's just kind of crazy that she's literally fully vaccinated, has the booster, all of that stuff, still gets COVID, doesn't matter. But I'm not surprised by this at all, but it's funny that it happened also while she was in Florida as well. So either way, we can always laugh at that kind of a situation. But when you talk about different states like Florida, Texas, of course, being places that people like AOC want to go to, we have to look at the amount of people that are actually moving out of the liberal states to come down here, which is both a good thing and a bad thing at the same time. So we have a new report showing that more than 600,000 people are leaving New York and California for other states, specifically red states, or just states that are less crazy as California and New York, right? And this shouldn't come as any surprise to anybody because we know for a fact that nobody wants to live in these states that are still locking down to a certain degree, that are still requiring masks, that are still forcing these vaccines. So this is according to the census data. California lost 300,000 residents between April 2020 and July 2021, and New York lost a net 365,000 people, about 2% of its total population as a result. Illinois apparently ranked third in the report, losing 114,000 residents. And once again, where are you thinking these residents are going? Well, let's look at the census and look at the biggest gains, right, from different states. So the biggest winners here, Texas and Florida, right? So first of all, you have Texas gaining 382,000 people and Florida adding 243,000 people as a result. So obviously, it pretty much almost literally adds up to the exact amount of numbers of people that left going to these exact specific states. Why is this happening? It's obvious because of the vaccine mandates. Why is this a good thing? To me, it shows that what New York, what California are doing don't work. These strategies, the liberal policies never have worked, never will work. The bad thing is that I'm afraid all of those really kind of 600,000 people are kind of going to probably not be realizing why they left those states. Because they get all down here in Florida or Texas and they enjoy the niceties, they enjoy the freedom that they have, but yet they're still probably calling Ron DeSantis Death Santis because they themselves are so hard tied to the liberal policies. So these, in a way, are really not good for these states either. My thought is that if you're going to move down, understand why you did it, and don't turn Florida into California or New York. Don't turn Texas into California or New York. Know why you actually left. There's far too many people that move. They enjoy the lower income taxes. They enjoy all the nice things in these states, and it causes for problems. And this has been going on for a long time. Clearly, and I think it's slowed down now more recently because I think most of the people that wanted to leave have already left. But for example, you know, look at the housing market. I mean, it's absolutely insane right now, not only from Biden's inflation and everything, but also from in Florida where you have so many people coming down here that people can sell their houses for almost whatever they want. because people are just shifting all over the place right now. So it doesn't spell necessarily the best thing for us. It just depends on if these people learned as to why, learn their lesson. Hey, don't turn our state into a liberal state. That's why it really matters. One of the really interesting stories that I actually saw was dealing with Biden, talking about the COVID treatments and how they were going to basically deal with prioritizing said treatments. So this is very interesting because it really showcases the underlying left mindset when it comes down to discrimination practices. So this is honestly just insane that this took place. But basically what this was is that this was a fact sheet issued for healthcare providers by the FDA. So this is by the FDA, Biden's approved it, everything else like that. So it basically says, and this was updated in December, just this past December, saying that medical conditions or factors such as race or ethnicity have the potential to place individual patients at high risk for progression of severe COVID, adding that the authorization under the EUA is not limited to other factors outlined in the agency. So they can also look at like older age, obesity, pregnancy, chronic kidney disease, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and it goes on. So it goes on to say that some states, including New York and Utah, have made it clear that they will prioritize certain racial minorities over other high-risk patients when it comes to the distribution of particular COVID treatments. So the point is, to sum all that up, is to say that Biden and this administration with the FDA are totally okay with racial discrimination with COVID treatment. They have no problem saying, you know what, if you come into a doctor's office looking for certain treatments, which we've heard reports of, and you're white, you could get denied. You could get denied certain treatments simply because of the color of your skin. And nobody's really, very few people are paying attention to this on the left because they don't want to pay attention to this. They don't want to see the facts that are here. But this is what's happening right now. So if you're looking for the racial discrimination that's happening in the United States, it's very clear, it's very obvious, right in front of our face, and it's against white people, white men specifically. You see that a lot in the leftist politics, but in this situation, they're literally saying that you could be denied treatment because of the color of your skin, because you could be even prioritized because of the color of your skin, things that shouldn't be happening. Remember, this is not about equality for Democrats. To them, this is exactly what they want. This is no fluke. They see this as racial equity. When they see this and they justify this, they're saying, well, black people are more likely to have issues or complications with COVID, not even considering the fact that, black people have a higher risk of high blood pressure and diabetes, things like that. We're going to ignore all of those things, but we're going to go ahead and prioritize this stuff for COVID in this situation so that and basically offset it and keep other races from maybe getting that prioritization. This is discrimination. It's not equality. It's not equality, or else everybody would be treated exactly the same way. Now, nobody has a problem with that when you actually have a legitimate reason to do this. We were talking about high risk. I mean, this is exactly what Ron DeSantis did in Florida, where he prioritized the vaccines for the elderly, which clearly had the biggest high risk factor. But you're seeing that minorities can actually rank even higher than elderly, which doesn't make sense. And it is a racist policy that's right there that the FDA is actually implementing that they obviously support. This was sent out to everybody. So you actually had Rand Paul grilling Fauci over the idea of the science, the idea of him thinking that he has, because really he has this God complex, thinking that he knows all, that nobody can disagree with him whatsoever. Here's a little bit of that clip.
I've always been pro-vaccine. I'm just simply against authoritarianism and against mandates. Right. The anger that's developed with you, Dr. Fauci, is that you don't want to give us advice. You want to tell us what to do. You think you are the science, and that anybody responds to you, how dare you? How dare you criticize science? As if you somehow are science. That kind of arrogance, that hubris is really, that's where the anger's coming towards you. If you were one doctor among hundreds of doctors in the government who gave advice, I don't think anybody, people might object to your advice, but there wouldn't be such a degree of anger. But you are so certain that you're right that you're not willing to hear anyone else. Three epidemiologists, of which you are not even an epidemiologist, but three epidemiologists prominent in their field, Oxford, Stanford, and Harvard, you maligned them. You spoke openly with Dr. Collins, and you did not disagree that let's paint them as fringe. You went after them and said, we will do a public takedown. Not in Science or Nature or Lancet, in Wired, in The Nation, a left-wing publication. You've engaged in base politics. You wonder why there's so much anger? You're not an objective scientist. You've lost that long ago. And so many of the things that people want, it's like they want to know why you're forcing their children to be vaccinated when 95% of people at risk have been vaccinated. Over 95% of people over 65, it's a huge voluntary success. And yet you won't rest until you force every child to get this. So, yes, there's a great deal of dissatisfaction with you, and many people want you to go, but nobody wishes you violence.
Senator Paul, your time has expired. I will use one time of my remaining 5 minutes to allow Senator Fauci to respond.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Fauci, sorry. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Murray.
No.
So, first of all, Senator, again, at a hearing such as this, where there are almost 900,000 people in this country have died from this outbreak, you have chosen to just personal attacks on me that go back to multiple hearings. And again, just for the record, for people to check, I have never said take people down in that email. It was an email that was sent to me. See, and again,
you agreed with Dr. Collins in the email.
Senator Paul, this is my time.
You know, you personally attacked me, and the things that you do are incorrect and proven incorrect. You've publicly accused me at a hearing of being responsible for the death of 5 million people when there is not a single shred of evidence that anything that was done with the NIH had anything to do with COVID-19. You talk about things like gain of function.
Dr. Fauci, I'm going to let you respond continually, but I think you have responded, and I appreciate
Okay, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. But I just want to say I'm actually stunned by the amount of misinformation. The only thing I have ever done, and this will take 20 seconds, if you look at the things I've said, they've been to support the recommendations of the CDC, of their advisory committees, and of the FDA. I've told people that it's important to get vaccinated, to get boosted, to wear a mask, and to be prudent. That's the only thing I said. I haven't dictated anything that's only a monolith with me. It's always public health practices. And anybody goes back over any record of me, they know that.
Thank you.
And of course, that's not even true at all, because many of us remember when he told everybody that there's no point in wearing masks at all. If you recall from the very kind of early onset of all of this, you said that nobody needed to wear any masks, that they may make you feel pretty good, but they actually don't do much of anything as far as stopping the virus at all. That's what he said. And yet here he is basically saying, oh, everything I've said possible was always supported. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Everything that he said has changed. I mean, everybody calls him flip-flop Fauci because all the time, the different day dictates something else that he's going to say, something else that he feels. It always has been this way for him. It's always something else. So for him to feel like he is the sole authority on what everybody should do with this virus is absolutely ridiculous. And the point that Rand Paul was making that he never even addressed is that he doesn't care to listen to anybody but himself. He says it's science, but it's really just him and the CDC. And discounting the fact of what other experts in the field say. He doesn't care what they say. He's the head honcho in all of this, and everybody else can go ahead and shut up and not say anything because his voice is the only one that matters. That's the way that he's always treated this entire situation. That's how Democrats treat him in every single way, but not paying attention to maybe the fact that, hey, maybe these other people have credible things to say. Shouldn't that matter? Shouldn't scientists matter? You remember Dr. Robert Malone was one of the guys that actually was responsible for inventing the RNA technology that a couple of the vaccines are based in, got suspended from Twitter because it's them saying, well, we care about the science. We care about the science. We're the party of science, but they're not the party of science. They're the party of Dr. Fauci and the select scientists that say what they want them to say. Anybody else that's outside of that field, no matter how professional, no matter how well or good their credentials are, if they don't agree with the mainstream, they get canceled, they get suspended, they get taken down, they get silenced. That's how this works. So Fauci's missing the point behind all of this stuff. He simply does not get it. Now, last but not least, this episode's TikTok liberal is actually I'm assuming, an actual woman, and she got top surgery. And for those of you that may not know, that's where they basically do a double mastectomy because they feel like they're actually a man. here's the video of that. And just a warning, if you're watching this on video, it is a little bit kind of graphic in a way. So go ahead and check this out.
As you can see, my nipples have been removed from my body. Where they are, I don't know. I am experiencing phantom nipple, or somebody has my nipples and they're pinching them and they won't let go. So if you have my nipples, just let go. It's enough. You can let go.
So this was uploaded to try to be funny, but it's not funny. And there was actually a report very recently talking about TikTok and the different videos and what's consumed. And I think there was something showing that there was about 2 billion hours or something of TikTok videos have been watched that are specifically dealing with trans, LGBTQ issues, whatever it is. This is an epidemic that's happening in our country. It's obviously a mental illness. You can see that this person has clearly something going on wrong in their mind. And you have a lot of women doing this where they get these double mastectomies done. The book Irreversible Damage by Abigail Schreier, I believe her name is. Check that out because it talks more in detail about what this is, why they're doing it, different parents that have had this happen to their daughters. But the list goes on, and you have these people that do this for real, and they think that this is somehow empowering and that they can be funny and that they can just go on a TikTok video with their shirt off for the first time and do whatever they want to do because they identify as a man now. It's really sick to see these people like this that are going to be messed up for the rest of their lives. And you know that they're going to regret this stuff several years down the road. I mean, it's obvious that they're doing this. And this is being recommended on TikTok, by the way. And that's why I really don't like TikTok at all, because you have children being influenced by these videos. These are showing up on the homepage when you open the app and you don't have a choice what you see. That's what they're seeing oftentimes. And it's really sad that this is taking place. And as a result, actually, a lot of people are getting banned for making similar or correct statements about this like I am. You have Matt Walsh here that got suspended from Twitter over transgender tweets. So what did he say that was that bad? Well, let's go through exactly what took place and why Twitter decided that this was not safe and that they needed to suspend him from the platform. So the tweet that he put out was, "The greatest female Jeopardy champion of all time is a man." Now, of course, that is true, because that is the man that they put up as a woman in Jeopardy and basically allowed him to win all of these games, really to kind of, I think, salvage the show or to make people watch it so they can have headlines with Jeopardy in it, probably, but you get the idea. So then he went on to say, "The top female college swimmer is a man. The first female four-star admiral in the public health service is a man. Men have dominated female high school track and female MMA circuit. The patriarchy wins in the end." And of course, he's saying this as a to be funny, but it's true. All of these things are credible, true situations that have happened or are happening right now. And yet you have the left-wing people heralding this as the best thing ever, because that was what it used to be about. Left-wing people, I mean, I think a lot of us would actually rather just go back to the old days of normal feminism, right? But that was the whole point, is that they wanted to crush the patriarchy, this idea that we live in a male-dominated world, and yet you see men stealing the spotlight from women because they decided one day that they wanted to be a woman, and the left is just pretending as if this is totally progressive, right? That's why J.K. Rowling can't be included in any of their things anymore and is basically canceled by the mainstream left, because she doesn't agree with the fact that men can just turn into women on a whim, right? And she feels like, hey, you're free to do whatever you want, but don't pretend to be something that you're plain and simply not. She's an old school feminist. And yet you see this happen. So he got suspended for this stuff. And this is the difference. If you criticize these people, if you point out what is obvious, you get suspended. Something as simple as saying men are men and women are women. Or define what a woman is. You ask that question to a left-wing person, they don't even know how to really answer it anymore. Because what a woman is means basically nothing in their eyes. And it's an attack on women. It always has been. And yet you see videos like that from TikTok and other places. And even criticizing these people is going to get you banned. So this has gone way too far, because it always started as, well, as long as you don't say anything about what happened in the 2020 election, you're good. Okay, as long as you don't say anything wrong about COVID, you're fine. But now something as obvious as men are men and women are women, and you get banned for that, suspended for it. Trust me, this the coronavirus isn't the end-all, be-all issue. There's going to be other things that are going to take place that are going to get people suspended from Twitter. That's why we need to do everything we can to move to other free speech platforms before it's too late. Because otherwise, there won't be any of us left to actually say anything on these platforms whatsoever. So that's all I have for you on this episode. I thank you for watching or listening to this one. Make sure that if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, that you leave a review on there as well. Make sure to follow me on Gab, Getter, Telegram, wherever it is, to stay up to date on the latest things. And also a quick reminder that I actually started a new YouTube channel, which is hopefully going to help maybe take away a lot of the censorship that I've been dealing with on the first channel. You can find that at William Hall Highlights as well. But either way, I will let you know what goes on there and if there's any new content that you need to follow on there as well. But with that being said, that's all I have for you on this episode, and I will see you on the next one.